This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings coming at you from Flag Is Up Farms in Solvang, California. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 15th, episode 1995, brought to you by Horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
And away we go.
Well, I'm here. Can you hear me okay? I'm the consummate idiot. I forgot my equipment again.
So again.
We've had to make some things work around here. So
it does sound like you're broadcasting from inside your dog's crate.
My dog's crate?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Well, let me out. I'm stuck in here.
But we can hear you, so that's good.
Well, that's good. That's good. You guys are back. How was your trip to Pennsylvania? Sunny Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it was cooler there, not quite as humid. And it was our 18th trip to Ada, so literally. So it was good. We got to meet up with old friends and sponsors and maybe find some new ones. And Jennifer may have bought a whole bag full of stuff to bring on the airplane home. So,
Jen, did you find me a helmet? Number one, and number two, is Ariat coming on board as our title sponsor for a show? Really need me some Ariat.
Well, that would, yeah, almost. I'm sure they're ready to sign by 2025. Yes.
Okay. So it went well, is what you're saying.
You know, I wonder if
Ariat
is putting less emphasis now on the horse side, because their booth was smaller than ever and they're in so much of the mainstream stuff now. I just wonder if the horse thing is becoming less and less of their business.
Listen, Ariat, don't forget your roots.
And Helmut, we're going to talk a lot about that anyway coming up. Speaking of that, Jennifer, what is coming up?
Coming up on today's Horselovers.com edition, we are going to chat about lark testing and how it could help equestrians get their horses fit more effectively. And then Lindsay White's going to stop by with a preview of Helmet Awareness Day 2018 edition. And on the Mongol Derby front, no, we haven't forgotten about it. We're going to hear from Mary Lou Corboy, the parent of one of our winners. Is that not right?
That's correct. Yep, all the way from Australia. Well, let's do our daily whinnies first, and mine has to be to the two winners. I'm very excited to announce that Adrian Corboy and Annabelle Neesham, both from Australia, crossed the finish line first in the Mongol Derby last night. Their horses checked out, and all was good, so they are the winners. We're going to hear from Adrian's mom a little later. I did this interview a couple hours before he won, but I think after you hear the interview, you're going to be so excited that these two won, and the story behind it is the backstory to how Adrian got there is interesting, and I think you're going to like it. So you're going to feel good about the winners of the Mongol Derby this year. Devin came in third, and her horse checked out. She came in about an hour and a half, I think, behind the winners. And then Eliza Allen from Australia was fourth. Angus Lowe from South Africa was fifth. And then Charlotte Howard from New Zealand was sixth. That means out of the top six, four of them were from down under. So,
wow.
Yeah, so they represented well this year in the horsemanship category.
Local
Derby.
Congratulations. You guys just rode wild ponies over 1,000 kilometers in very tough conditions. Congratulations. Here's your t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. And thanks for your $16,000. did you see some of the pictures from there? Oh my God. Oh. These ponies are not trained at this point. But what's crazy is those little Mongol kids can get on the ponies and ride them bareback without a bridle like crazy.
Did you see the video? It's on Eventing Nation. They posted some videos and the guy gets on the horse and it just flat gallops away. And it apparently is going the wrong direction. He finally kind of like wheels it around and gallops all the way back. And like keeps going. It's just full on bolt the entire time.
It's a different world. It's a different world for sure. All right, your Daily Winnie.
My Daily Winnie, when are husbands going to learn? Glenn, when are you guys going to learn? Okay, so I call Chad. The Winnie goes to the fact that Chad and I are very close to closing on some property in Oklahoma, and I'm not going to tell you guys anymore until it's actually done. But he calls me yesterday. He sends me an email. He's like, you got to get this printed up, and you have to overnight it. You have to sign it and overnight it immediately to this place. Well, I'm here at Flag Is Up, and I'm teaching. I'm doing nothing for you immediately because I'm here, and where am I going to FedEx the, you know, classroom? So I'm fairly frustrated and I call him because I'm like, just sign it. Like, you're my husband, just sign it. And I call him and he answers the phone and he's like, hey, I only have 30 seconds to talk. What's up? And I'm like, what's up? I need to talk to you. You told me I had to do all this work with these papers. I don't have time. He's like, I'm sorry. I just can't talk right now. I'm really busy. I got to go. I have like 10 seconds. Like, what's going on? What's wrong? Where are you? What's happening? He's like, it's my shot. He's playing freaking golf, telling me he has 30 seconds to talk.
I thought he was in the cockpit or something.
Yeah, that's right. If he's flying a jet and he's like, I have 30 seconds to wheels up. Like, that's what I was expecting. And I'm like, it's his shot in golf. So I came back to the bunkhouse and I'm driving. And by the way, my phone doesn't work here. So I have to drive out of the property to call him. So I'm driving around trying to get a hold of him. And then he gives me 30 seconds because it's his shot. So I came back to the bunkhouse and Miguel, the head instructor, was in there. And I was like, I hate men. Why are they so stupid? And later he's like, fire was shooting out of her eyeballs. But in all effort to make things right, he calls me later and I answer the phone and I was sitting out talking to Miguel and I answer the phone on speaker and he's like, hey, baby. Miguel's like, I'm out. He shuts off. And he's like, this is what has kept us married for 10 years almost. I just want to say I'm really sorry. That was really wrong of me to do that. I'm so sorry. I've just been on the phone a lot with the people and I was trying to play golf and the guys were giving me a hard time because I've been on the phone with the closing, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, he's like, so let me just again tell you how sorry I am.
But my shot was great.
However, I went 4 under par. Unbelievable. So men, you're dumb, but you come around, I guess.
We always apologize later.
You know, apparently some men don't. So they were like, at least he apologized.
Does it matter to the length of time it takes to apologize? In other words, if it had, he called a couple hours later. If it had been a day later, it's no good anymore, right? It's just like, well, that's an afterthought. You didn't really mean it.
If he called hours later, I would have been pissed. But actually, I think he got to the next hole and was like,
oh, see, he called within the allotted time.
But I sent him a a nice text message.
Oh, I bet you did.
Post-phone call.
Which I'm assuming we cannot read on the air.
There's a reason that he might have called fairly quickly.
That's funny.
I do not have a problem with communication, okay?
Hey, before we get to our first guest, I have a couple of announcements. One is that we have confirmation now that both of our title sponsors, Horse Lovers and Weatherbeta, are in for Radiothon. So it looks like we have to do another 12-hour Radiothon. This year, it is going to be, well, it's always the Monday after Thanksgiving, Cyber Monday. So it's November the 26th this year will be Radiothon. Yes, I have to prepare for another Radiothon, but first we have to get through the World Equestrian Games, which brings up the next topic. We did get the list of exhibitions so far that are going to be there in addition to the competition. They always have exhibitions. Now, in Kentucky in 2010, they had like 1,000 of them.
Your list is incomplete.
Is it?
Because okay. I have the full schedule in front of me.
Oh, you do? Okay, good, because I couldn't find it anywhere. So I do know that
It's not what you know, Glenn. It's not what you know. It's who you know.
I know Guy McLean's going to be there. Double Dan's going to be there. Monty's going to be there. And you're going to be there too, right, with Monty?
I am. So Monty is doing a couple demos, and one of them, he's using Alisa Wallace's Mustangs.
Oh, cool.
So I was able to hook up. They were looking for some Mustangs to use for the veterans demo that they're going to do, because they do a lot of work with people here at Flag Is Up Farm and veterans and children. And so they needed some Mustangs to do the veterans demo. Debbie calls me, "Do you know anybody with Mustangs kind of in that area?" And I was like, "I actually do." I call Alisa and hook Alisa up with Monty's people, Debbie, and get it all sorted out. And so I just saw that, I guess they can talk about it now because Alisa just posted, "Oh my God, I'm doing my horse is going to be with Monty." That's pretty exciting. So yeah, I've got Michael Gascon, Guy McLean, Double Dan, I'm going to butcher this name. I'm sorry. JP Giacomini.
Can't help you on that one.
Okay, thank you. You're not my go-to for name pronunciations. No. Lisa Lurie, and Elisa's going to do some demos with her Mustangs as well. So it'll be full. They've got people scheduled from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. So it'll be good.
Oh, good. And do you know what days you're going to be there?
I am going to be there definitely on the 19th and 20th. So I'll probably be there 18th to the 21st.
Okay, good. That's the second week. So they'll be there the beginning of the second week. Monday, the 17th is actually a day off for everybody. And then you'll be there during the second week. So that's kind of cool. Good.
Yeah.
And anybody wanting tickets can still get tickets. We do have an episode of the WEG show coming out today where we talk about, there was a whole lot of talk about the restrictions list that was sent out of what you're allowed to bring and not allowed to bring to WEG if you're a spectator. We're not going to get into that right now because Samantha and I really ripped it apart on the WEG show. So you'll hear that come out today at 2018wegshow.com or on our app.
Is it like going to a football game? Because I went to, which is I'll never do again, by the way, over football ever. But I went to this football game and they were like, "I'm sorry, you can't take your purse inside."
That's correct.
You have to have the clear purse.
Like that. It's like
and
that.
And so fortunately, they sold them little clear plastic bag with a string on it for $40. So I was able to take
there you
my
go.
Whoa!
Yeah, I had Lucas with me, so I had to have diapers and wipes and baby stuff. And by the way, don't take a baby to a football game. That's a terrible idea. Anyway,
yeah.
Well, we discuss all of that, and yes, the restrictions are endless. There's like 100 of them, so I was surprised because it is, if you attend baseball or football or anything like that, you're gonna go through this. But I was actually surprised. Horse people are not used to that, so the reaction was stronger than I thought it would be.
So no manure forks. You are not allowed to come in with one. You're not allowed to have rectal thermometers.
No, it doesn't say you can't have a manure fork.
Oh, okay.
That is not on the list. So you can bring your shaking fork, but you cannot bring a lawn chair.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, Jennifer's going to get our first guest on, and we're going to talk a little horse health. And speaking of horse health, there was a survey. I'm not going to do a whole survey show. There was one title that I had to read to you because it was like, okay. And this it was out of thehorse.com. Our friends over at The Horse put this one out. Survey shows horse owners rely on their veterinarians.
No. No. I never call mine. She doesn't even know my name.
What? Apparently, they did a study with 9,000 horse owners from across the United States that determined that survey respondents said their veterinarians are their number one influence on the product purchase decisions for vaccines and dewormers.
Well, that's obvious. But the other thing is that you should have, that has to be somebody who's over the age of 21. Under 21, their primary go-to person that they call for those things is their friends on Facebook.
As friends on Facebook, yes, correct.
Hey, guys, I'm trying to purchase some vaccines. What should I go with? And what brands are you guys like most in love with as far as like, you know, the rabies shot.
Doesn't it make sense, though, that most, in 90% of the cases in the country, maybe 95% of the cases, the veterinarian is the one giving the vaccine, so wouldn't you think he'd be the one advising?
She's never actually asked my opinion on what brand I would like. She just kind of does it.
There you go, which is why this study was like, oh my God, that's a duh study right out of
I'm
the horse
sorry.
World.
Oh, is that a Pfizer vaccine? No, I'm going to need to have some other, I don't know. I can't even think of another one.
See, there you go.
I need a Fort Dodge, not a Pfizer.
Yes, yes. Do you have that in your truck? Or can you go get it for me? All right, it's time for, let's continue horse health.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And we welcome our guest, Mike Kaur, coming on to tell us about a lark test. First, I need to know a little bit about you, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you? What do you do?
My name is Mike Kaur, and we live in Lampasas, Texas, and we do fit spots with the lark test. And I guess that's what we're here to talk about. We are also a Equicare, which is a conditioning and equine rehabilitation facility.
Cool.
And I'm married to my wife and partner, business partner, Molly.
Fantastic. I always love to know where people are coming from, but honestly, I probably could have said you were coming from Texas. Just after talking to you for 10 seconds, I was easily identifiable. So, Mike, tell us, what is the lark test?
So, the lark test is the only horse fitness test of its kind in the world. It was created by Dr. Cecilia Tula. She's from Argentina, and she lives in Uruguay. And it is a test that... the science that allows the owner, the trainer of the horse to understand for the first time, you know, what his horse's needs are. And they can see to get together because they truly know what to do. And so it's a fitness test that the horse goes through and does it, his discipline, his or her discipline, whether it be barrel racing or jumping or cutting or whatever it is. And after they're through with their event, then the test is performed. And then when the test is performed, all the vitals are recorded and monitored. They're downloaded into an app. And then at the beginning of it, the tech gets a resting heart rate. So we can base everything, you know, on that resting heart rate. Then the respiratory rate, the heart rate, as it gets up to a certain level, and then it starts to drop. And the blood is drawn at 5 minutes after the workout and 22 minutes after the workout. And then that's plugged into a meter, and that's also downloaded into an app. And then it tells us, that it generates a very detailed report, and it tells us and the owner, the trainer, exactly what they need to do to get their horse in tip-top shape. It tells it monitors the entire respiratory system, the heart, and the muscles. Tells the owner, the trainer, or the conditioning facility whether that horse needs to focus on anaerobic workout or aerobic workout. Is the horse breathing correctly? If the horse is not breathing correctly or breathing very well, then, you know, nothing else really matters. So we got to get that fixed before we move on. And it tells us if there's, you know, too much lactic acid buildup in the system and your horse is at risk for injury. And it also allows you to get to know your horse. Try to peak on race day, not peak a day or two before race day. Knows when your horse should have a day off and what is a day off, you know, what's that day look like, what it should look like. So it really does answer all the questions. It's kind of like the voice of the horse. The horse tells us what it needs, and then the Lark test translates it and lets everyone know what needs to be done to get your horse ready to win.
Wow, that was an amazingly well explained. So thank you very much. I'm trying to struggle to find a question because you answered so many of them.
I have one.
Okay.
So is it just the app or is there a piece of equipment? You talk about drawing blood. What do I do with the blood?
Stick it into the speaker section of your phone, Glenn.
Now, if you could design that, that would be terrific right there.
That's a really good app.
That's funny.
So it is both of the things. There is a meter involved, which is, you know, the blood meter, and it is an app. And then that's download. Everything is downloaded. So we take, the vitals, and those are, downloaded. And then also, then the blood is put into a meter, and then it produces its results. And then that's also downloaded into the app.
Okay. So
and then what we'll,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, what I was going to say is then when you get the report talking about, you know, what's all involved equipment wise, then the app tells you exactly, you know, what to do for the workout. So this is not a workout. This is not a test to say you need to take your horse to a particular facility. This tells the horse owner or the trainer what they can do to get the horse in a tip top shape. And so it'll be even as detailed as a rider can put their headphones on. And it tells you, okay, you need to start off with a walk. Then you need to go into a trot for X amount of minutes at X amount of miles per hour. It'll tell you when you're at that speed, and it'll tell you to hold it. And then it'll tell you every step to do from slow work to sprint work to, all of the above. So,
oh my gosh, that's so cool.
That is really cool.
There won't be any guessing.
Now, and, you know, we've seen a lot of these, and we've had them on the show over the years. We've seen a lot of the monitors and things like that, Mike, that, you know, the hook to the girth, and basically they're doing heart rate. But the blood work, I think, is what's different here is because you can see so much more with blood work, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's amazing what it does. I mean, not just telling us, you know, what muscles are in shape and what muscles are not in shape. But that respiratory system, what's amazing about it is it can differentiate between an upper respiratory condition and a lower respiratory condition. It can tell a difference between an allergy and inflammation. It can tell you if your horse has bled or is at risk for bleeding. And, you know, 4 out of 10 horses that are tested are going to have something. It's just like us. You know, we have an allergy. If you're going to go run, you know, a 10K, you know, and you're stopped up, then you're not breathing good. The oxygen is not getting in your bloodstream to get to your muscles. And so it's just not going to work right. And so then there's breathing treatments where they consult their doctor, their veterinarian, to find out what's going on. We had a couple of situations where this horse was just tremendous and they were frustrated because they had only won a small amount of money in the barrel world, and they couldn't find out what's going on. And we ran the test, and it did show a major blockage. And so the doctor, we took it to the doctor. The doctor confirmed it through some testing And we did the breathing treatments, conditioned her for not as long as we would have liked to, but she needed to get to a race. So we got her respiratory system cleaned out. And in 1 week, the first week back, since she got the LARC test, she won $10,000. So it really does find things that you would not normally know.
It pays for itself.
That's if you're in a sport that actually has pays money, unlike eventing.
It's not going to help with eventing the Mongol Derby. You're screwed. No. Now, where can we get this? Do we have to go to your farm to get it? Who are they marketing this to? Is this something all veterinarians are going to have? Sorry. Answer all those questions.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Yeah. So right now, we are the ones giving the test in two different ways. You come to Equicare in Lampasas and soon to be Millsap, Texas. And then currently we are doing what we call fit spots, which we are, and we've got a lot of people that have signed up to put on fit spots, and that's a 10 horse minimum at an arena soon to be close to you. And then we will have a certified LARC test technician that will perform the test.
So you'll
and
do it at
we'll
shows.
Be back at that same. We do it at shows. We do it at it. Practice arenas. We do it at stables. We'll do it anywhere that you want us to do. If you want to come to us, you can do one horse by appointment, and we'll do it right here on spot. Give you your report, send you off, so you can do your program on your own. Or we'll go to your stable, and if you have 10 horses or more, then we'll come to your stable and do 10 horses. And then give everybody the results on that same day. So it's not a result that you have to wait on. You're going to get it that day.
Okay, so Mike, I'm a geek, so I'm always thinking ahead and thinking, okay, so how far are we away from, like, the pinprick to check for diabetes? How far are we away from being able to do this ourselves at home with a home test kit?
So what we're doing right now, because it is brand new, is we are rolling it out with fit spots. And so we are making sure because it is such a great report, everybody's going to want to do it. If you care about your horse or you want to win, you're going to want to do this because it answers all your questions. So we're going to do it. We're going to roll it out with fit spots. And then the midterm goal, which is not too far away, then we're going to then put it out to a handful of vets and then make sure that we're answering all the questions and make sure there's any kinks are taken care of. And then we're going to roll it out to the general public, which then they'll be able to do it on their own.
I can see every racetrack trainer and every racetrack having these things and actually requiring them.
I would like to make a suggestion. I mean, it sounds like it's still in the development phase, but I love the idea of having the headphones on and it telling me to trot or telling me I need to canter or go faster. And I would like it to do a couple things. I would like it to yell at me because I feel more comfortable when the person on the ground is yelling at me, trot now, keep going, loser, trot, you're lazy. Yeah. And then in those sessions in between, like, I feel like some music would be really nice to bring in between, like, you need to trot for 3.5 minutes. So, you know, I need something peppy. So I'm thinking if we kind of use Taylor Swift and we've got her pop music for, like, the fast things, and then we switch to Taylor Swift country when we need to do the walk and the breathing and stuff like that. So just write that down. Just give it.
I'm telling you, Dr. Tula is listening to this right now, and I promise you she's right.
All right, I got another one for her to write down then. This is the other extension, is after you do the little blood work and it comes back and says your horse is fine, the rider sucks. Get some help.
Yeah.
Can you add that to it too?
That has to be yelling at you too.
Yes. Your horse is fine. Everything looks perfect with your horse. That means it's you.
You're terrible. Your horse is awesome.
Now prick some blood and put your own on here, and we'll tell you what's wrong with you. So
you need to lose weight.
That's the next thing.
I'm too heavy for your horse. Oh my God, this can be so good.
George Morris will love this. Mike, you're great. You're a good sport. Thank you so much. Where can people find it? Where can they find you?
Call me at LARC Test. My name is Mike Poor at 512 567-8285. And they'll talk to you either myself or Cody McCorkle, who is our head tech. She's incredible. She knows the entire anatomy of the horse. She can go through the test and make you feel so good about your horse and where your horse is going. So everybody's very supportive. No need to be embarrassed about, you know, the shape that your horse is in. That's what the LARC test is for, to help you get your horse in the right shape so you can do it the correct way, so you don't get your horse hurt along the way.
And it's larctest.com, LARC test.com. You've been a good sport. Keep us informed as this goes forward and as you roll out more things. This is a fascinating topic, and I love what it does, and it definitely keep us informed, okay?
Thank you so much. We sure will.
All right, thanks,
really
Mike.
Appreciate y'all having it.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
This would be awesome for Zeus because, as you guys know, last Friday, Glenn, you weren't here, but my Eventing Mustang, I think I want to do an endurance ride with him. I want to do a 25-miler.
Oh, yeah? We talked you into it?
I have a mentor. No, you didn't. She did. She's pretty much strong-arming me into doing it. She's shaming me because she has Mustangs that do endurance and she lives a few miles away. Now, since I mentioned this last week, lots of suggestions for tack. One of our auditors offered a set of turquoise tack. I'm in. Why not? Let's do it. Turquoise is my new color. Also, the ride was canceled. So she's trying to figure out an alternate ride. She's like, I will make a 25-mile ride.
Are you starting at 25? I didn't know how. 15, 25? What's the first?
Come on. If I'm going to do it, let's do it. If I'm going to chafe, let's chafe.
Well, we did have Montgomery on, the guy who owned yesterday on the show, if you missed it, the endurance episode, who owned the two Mustangs that came in the top 10 at Tevis.
I can't wait to listen
to
that.
Yeah, he was on yesterday.
I don't speak the endurance language quite yet, so I feel like I'll need a translator, but I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, definitely take a listen to that. Well, you know, we got to see over the weekend was our friends at Horse Lovers. They were there, of course, buying new stuff for you on their website, horselovers.com with a Z. And I was just on there a minute ago, and I was taking a look at their, you know, we always talk about the English stuff. Well, they're having a Western blowout right now. It's up to 75% off of Western stuff. They have Western pads on there, marked down from $60 to $30. They have all different kinds of pads. Western people have more pads than English people. I determined that.
No, they don't.
Oh, they
that
do.
Lie.
Oh, they have more different types of pads. Oh, my God, there's a lot of different types of pads for the Western world. They have halters on there marked down. They have a bed of halters down to $14. There are 45 pages of Western stuff marked down right now at horselovers.com. They have all kinds of houseware stuff. They have purses and Western purses. Oh, my God, there are Western purses that were like up to $500, but they have a marked down to $50. So there are page after page after page of Western stuff right now at horselovers.com. So if you're in the Western side, of course, they always have English stuff, but we hardly ever mention the Western. And they just have that sale going on right now. It never lasts long, so usually only a day. So you want to head over to horselovers.com right now if you're in the Western side and check out their deal of the day.
You know, I don't really need what cowboy boots. Like, it's just not my thing, but I love them.
But and you look so cute in cowboy boots.
I kind of covet them and I hoard them. And that's really bad that those are on sale. Okay. So
do
yeah.
Do you wear cowboy boots at all ever?
I do. Well, not when I lived in Georgia, but now that I live in Arizona, when you go out, you wear your boots. That's like the fancy.
Well, you should have. Did you bring them along to go to that saloon in downtown, whatever that saloon is that you guys go to?
If you're going to the Maverick Saloon and you're not wearing cowboy boots, they won't let you
in. They don't let you in, no.
No, not at all. So I gave up post-child. I was like, forget the heels. I'm in the boots now.
Well, speaking of sales, we have a good friend of ours on. She's been coming on this show literally since day one of our show. She has been coming on with us for the last 8 years, and that's how long ago it was that she started Riders for Helmets. And if you remember right, that was started as a result of U.S. Olympian Courtney King Dye's accident. with the aim of educating equestrians on wearing helmets and the proper helmet fit and wearing them and not keeping them too long and all that stuff and actually putting them on your head. And that's Lindsay White, who has been the one responsible for Riders for Helmets and International Helmet Awareness Day forever since it started. She has put her blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of money into this campaign, and it still continues after all these years. And this year, it's coming up this weekend. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. You know, when I was looking back at when you guys started, it literally was when the show started. We started in 2010 and you started in 2010.
I know, and both have grown to good things, right?
Yeah, that's right. And speaking of grown, you have like a million retailers participating this weekend. Let's explain to everybody what why did you do International Helmet Awareness Day? Where did that concept come from? And then we'll talk about this weekend.
And it's truly international this time.
It's been international for a number of years now, but this year even more so. But the whole concept of International Helmet Awareness Day was kind of an offshoot from the Riders for Helmets campaign, which was originally started as a website portal to educate equestrians on all aspects of wearing a helmet. And back in 2010, I had reached out to several helmet brands, and at that time it was just in the USA and Canada, and proposed this idea that we had an event, at that time it was called more National Helmet Awareness Day, that would actually get the customers coming into retail tech shops and stores to focus again on helmet safety. Because, you know, retailers sell helmets all year around, but it's something that can be forgotten about, and people might be wearing a helmet that has had a blow and they haven't gotten it replaced, or they might, you know that it doesn't really fit them that well, or they might just want a new helmet. So I kind of reached out and talked with the helmet brands and suggested that we do an event for one day only that would involve retailers, kind of spread out at that time across the US and Canada, and would offer discounts also on helmets as an incentive to get people to replace the helmet if it has taken a knock, et cetera, or if it's expired, because obviously the materials in helmets expire. And as a result of that, kind of year on year, other countries got more interested and kind of learned about the campaign. And this year it's actually in 24 countries, which is our record number of countries that participated. I mean, we've got everybody from Guatemala to Russia, to Austria, to, you know, New Zealand taking part this year, which is staggering. And we actually, I think, crossed last night 750 participating retailers. Not quite a million, but still pretty good. And they're still coming in. They are still flooding in. So I would say, I don't want to touch wood, but I would say we may even cross 800 before it's done. Or get close to it. We may even go past, well past that. But this is actually the biggest year we've had ever had in response. And you can visit our website, Riders, and it's the number four, Riders with an S, the number four, and Helmets with an S.com. And on there, you will find under the International Helmet Awareness Day tab, a participating retailer map. So literally there's, 700 plus retailers in all of these countries that will be offering special one day only discounts on helmets. You can go in their stores, you can get fitted for a new helmet, you can get reminded about all aspects of helmet safety, you can get educated by them. And the response has just been phenomenal. And the response from the retailers, I will say too, has been quite staggering, because I think we had 400 of them that signed up immediately to participate this year before we even put the first press release out. So I'm just blown away, quite frankly, that 8 years down the road, or this is our ninth Helmet Awareness Day, but 8 years after starting Riders for Helmets, it literally is still going so very, very strong.
Well, let's remind everybody the rules. If your helmet's over 5 years old, you need a new one. It's time to replace it. The foam biodegrades in the heat and weather. It's inside your helmet. It's not. It basically gets brittle, and your helmet will not work like it's supposed to. There is a date inside all helmets, so the manufacturer date inside all helmets. So definitely take a look at that date. And if your helmet's over 5 years old, go out this weekend and get yourself a new one. And then the other thing is, if you've fallen off and hit your head, you should be replacing your helmet, because you don't know what kind of date damage and cracks and things are on the inside, even if you can't see it on the shell on the outside. If you've took a bunk to the head, then you should be replacing your helmet and go out and do that this weekend as well. There are so many different brands that are participating. A couple of our sponsors, Ovation Helmets, are participating. We've had a question or two from our listeners. The new Trauma Void helmet, that's the one that has that new MIPS technology in it.
It's on there.
It's on the list. So that is confirmed. Of course, all the major brands are on there. You know, Dublin, Charles Owen, JPC, all the major brands of helmets are on there. Sam Shield, Tipperary, and on and on. Troxel. So you can find all of those. When we went, last time I bought a helmet was at International Helmet Awareness Day. It was a couple of years ago. We went to the local tack shop to try and support them, and there were a whole bunch of people in there buying helmets, and that's where we got our helmets. So it does work.
Fantastic. And the only thing I would just add to your comment about the replacement date, Glenn, is you may actually need to replace your helmet sooner than 5 years, even if you haven't taken a direct blow. It's actually based on the number of hours that you wear your helmet, because sweat, dirt, dust, etc., does actually degrade the helmet materials over time. So if you're wearing your helmet, you know, for 8 hours a day, it may be that it needs replacing after 3 years, not five.
Well,
so
not to mention that
general guideline.
Well, if then you're wearing it 8 hours a day, it smells really bad and you need a new one.
Exactly.
Well, in my case, then I only need to replace it every 10 years. I'm good for 10 years. So.
No. Helmet standards change, Glenn. You still need a new helmet. But you can actually find on the blog on our website, we actually have lots and lots of educational materials. And one of those is you'll see has your helmet expired, and it actually explains when you should change your helmet. So as well as being a portal for people to come into to find retailers that are participating in International Helmet Awareness Day, which I will say is actually running the same as last year over 2 days this year. So it's this coming Saturday and Sunday, the 18th and 19th. It's not just over 1 day. Because due to huge demand, we're actually doing it over the whole weekend. But you can find so much educational content on our website as well. And I can't quite give you the lowdown on a very exciting article that we're hoping to push out later today as well. But definitely visit the website, because we have the story of the century. And I will say that we're about to put out a story. We've had some stories over the years that have just been like, wow, how did this person survive this accident? You know, thanks to the helmet, they're still here. But we have the story of all stories about to go on the website too.
So oh, come on. For that one. This is the best place to
I can't. It's still being written right now, but it should be ready in a few hours. But it is literally, I can guarantee you've never read a story where a helmet saved a head in this manner. I'm telling you. That's why I want everyone to go to the blog to read it.
Okay, after that, they have to come on. If it's that good, they have to come on and tell the story on the air, okay? Because this is something
We can definitely get the person to come on the air, maybe next week or something, and share their story. But it is, I mean, when I was told the story literally yesterday, I've read some seriously wacky stories over the years, how in different situations people's helmets have saved their head. But this one goes to the top of the list for sure. It really, really does. And it will be on the blog hopefully this evening or tomorrow.
Oh, you're such a tease.
You are a tease. And I see on Twitter this morning that you also have a helmet giveaway going on.
We have lots of helmet giveaways going on right now, and some of them are ending this evening. So get on the Riders for Helmets. Again, it's Riders with an S, the number 4, and Helmets with an S Facebook page, because we have about 10 helmet brands that are giving helmets away at the moment. And if you literally just go on our Facebook page and scroll down the page, there is numerous helmet giveaways, and a lot of them end this evening. So definitely sign up. I mean, we have Ovation, 1K, EQ3 up in Canada, which is the Trauma Void helmet. We have who else is being given away right now? If I miss anyone, I'm going to be in trouble. We have a contest for listeners in Australia. We have one in England going on right now. So we have tons of helmets being given away on our Facebook page at the moment. So definitely hop on over there and sign up for the contest for sure. And I just wanted to take the moment to say thank you as well, because I know you launched the radio show at the same time that we started Riders for Helmets, and you guys have been so supportive over the years. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you as well, because I think you guys more than anybody appreciate what a true labor of love and what a mammoth, mammoth task it is to pull off an event in 24 countries. So thank you for having me on.
Well, and thank you for your hard work and all the time and money and effort you've put into this really single-handedly and fighting an uphill battle sometimes, which shouldn't have been, but you've stuck with it all these years.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I think for next year, definitely I have to look at, you know, planning ahead and seeing what we're going to do to change the event next year, because I never honestly thought I'd say this, and you guys will probably appreciate where I'm coming from, but the event has really even outgrown me doing it at this point. It really is that big now. And, you know, it's showing no signs of slowing down. The number of retailers is higher than ever. The number of participating countries is higher than ever. And, you know, I kind of said this last year, this is just getting too big to handle. And it's not that I'm going to step away from the helm of doing it, but if there's anybody out there, any, you know, philanthropy organization or anything else that wants to kind of step in and help with some manpower or something at this point, we really need it, because the event truly is just such a big undertaking. It's getting hard for me to do now. And I don't want it to be restricted in its growth and reach by my manpower. So that's kind of an earnest plea, I guess, begging. but, you know, if there is anybody listening, you know, Virgin Corporation or anybody else, please do step up to the plate, because we could really use it at this point. And it's pretty phenomenal considering we have, you know, retailers in Russia and Guatemala and, you know, spread out all across the globe, South Africa, everywhere, that are participating. And the campaign has no budget, no marketing budget, no funding whatsoever. Yet it is as far flung as, you know, countries as widespread apart as that. It's really quite amazing. And it's a testament to the need for continued education on all aspects of helmets. And I'd love to take it into other sports with wearing helmets as well, because International Helmet Awareness Day really has, you know, gone all over the globe now. And that's where we really need some help with that now. So if anybody wants to get in touch with me, just please feel free.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much again for all your hard work. And thank you for doing this. It's riders4helmets.com. You can find all the details. Go out and get your helmet this weekend. Thank you, Lindsay. It was good to see you this weekend.
Thank you, guys. And when you're wearing your cowboy boots, make sure you wear your helmet too.
Okay. Absolutely. You know, I just dance in boots. I wear the helmet to ride.
Although the way you dance, maybe.
I should dance in my helmet to ride. Yeah, thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks, Lindsay.
I need a picture of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye, guys.
At the Maverick. Send that over. She'll post that right away.
It probably would help, because I do dance like Elaine from I get the leg
from
kick.
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Well, she has put a ton of work into this and really has sweated over the years in getting this done. It is a lot of work and a lot of effort, and she's done it single-handedly. And
there's no money in it for her.
Nothing.
She just has a passion.
Most of the year, she has to put thousands of dollars of her own money in to make it happen. And, you know, she does it selflessly, and you could hear her, after all this time, you could still hear her passion in protecting people's heads. So, and she's received some amazing stories of people that went out and bought a helmet on International Helmet Awareness Day because they were aware, and they felt guilty for not having one, and wore it, and then fell off, and it saved their life. And she's gotten so many of those stories. We've had them on the air here with us.
I feel like the fact that she thanked you profusely for supporting and being a part of it, and then she like won't tell us the story, you know.
I think this is a good one. We're gonna have to get that, whoever that is, we're gonna have to get them on. Well, yeah. Let's speaking of stories, we had a Mongol Derby winners last night. We had two Australians come in by the name of Adrian Corboy and Annabelle Neesham. And last night, a couple hours before they came across the finish line, I caught up with Adrian's mom, Mary Lou. And Mary Lou told us the story of how Adrian got there, which is fascinating, and the story of the relationship between the two of them. And I know that they've already won, so this was done before they won. But you're going to fall in love with them. If you haven't heard Mary Lou tell this story, you're going to love them even more. They came across the finish line with no penalties the entire 1,000 kilometers with their horses. No health penalties, no time penalties, no nothing. And here is a little bit of the backstory and why I was so impressed with the both of them.
Is this a mascara alert, like a tissue alert?
No,
are you going to cry?
It is not. Okay. And Mary Lou's not, you know, you will not cry at this one.
You know, look, I cry at America's Got Talent when they play the backstories.
Okay. I don't think it's quite that way. No, this is more an inspirational story and a mom
cry.
Who really loves her kid. So let's take a listen.
I'm going to cry. Okay, go.
It's so good to talk to you. I'm sorry we couldn't get you on the live. We tried the other night and it wasn't working, but at least this way everybody can hear our interview. And you have to be so excited and nervous and everything all at the same time.
Yeah, we are. We're almost sick with excitement and nerves this morning. It's just such an epic story. It really is. But I guess we should never underestimate Adrian. But this is really amazing. With 3 weeks to prepare.
Yeah, well, tell us about that. He did not sign up for this, a year ago like everybody else?
No, he didn't. Adrian is a breaker and pre-trainer, an educator of thoroughbred racehorses here in Wangaratta in Victoria, Australia. And he gets the beautiful animals from the yearling sales, and he and his team break them in and prepare them for racing and then send them down to various leading trainers in the city. And one of those trainers that he does a lot of work for is Kieran Maher. And Kieran and Annabelle Neesham were entered in the Mongol Derby.
Ah, okay.
And on the 13th of July, Kieran was doing some track work himself to get race fit for the Derby, and he had a fall in track work on the morning of the 13th of July and phoned Adrian from his hospital bed and said, listen, mate, you're going to have to do this ride for me because it's all paid for. The sponsors have all paid up. And Adrian rang me and said, listen to this mad story. It's not going to happen. But by that afternoon, there was an article in the local newspaper that was actually saying that Adrian was a fill-in. But at that point, we still thought that he'd be rejected, that, you know, they wouldn't allow... You know, maybe. And the other thing too was he didn't think he could make the weight. He didn't think he could make the 80 kilos. But on the 19th of July, 6 days later, he got word that, yes, they would accept the replacement and get ready. So he had 9 days. He had to lose 9 kilos, in order to do this. So he had about 2 weeks to shed 9 kilos, and that was probably the hardest thing to do because he's already working extremely hard. Their day starts at 3:30 a.m. They're riding all the breakers and the pre-trainers and track work, and you really need to eat well when you're working like that. But his wife's a trooper, Kylie. She just put him on a really strict diet and exercise regime with all the kids chasing him around the racetrack a couple of times a day, and really he just lived on a little bit of fruit, not much else. And he got the weight down and got kitted out and flew out on the 3rd of August.
My gosh, that has to be the fastest turnaround ever for a rider in the Mongol Derby.
Well, it was certainly Adrian doesn't have bucket lists, but this was certainly never, ever going to be in one if he ever got one. But he's got a few brothers, and they did talk about it. Gee, wouldn't this be fun? But, you know, they're all too busy and never... You know, and each year it'd go past, and they wouldn't seriously think about entering it, but this is how it's all happened. But anyway, he said to me before he left, he said, I'm not, you know, he's not a time waster, Adrian, and he said, I'm going over there, my main business. I said, yeah, I'm sure you do, but I never ever dreamt that 2 days out he'd hit the lead.
You know, and you've been watching us do this coverage every night, and we've been chatting about this, and they overtook the lead. And what's really cool about both of them, and they knew each other. Annabelle and Adrian knew each other pretty well, right? I mean, or what?
No. They knew each other through Kieran's work. Annabelle is Kieran's race manager, but Adrian's up here in Wangaratta, 3 hours away from Kieran. So they weren't working together on a daily basis or anything. Annabelle might come up to inspect yearlings with clients and things like that, but he certainly didn't know of that well.
Okay. They do now.
Yeah. They sure do now.
So, Adrian, I want to get to the race, but I want to ask you, because there was this post this morning that I thought was cute as a dickens. How many kids does Adrian have?
Yeah. They have 8. One is still in utero for about another month.
They have 8 kids?
Yeah.
You have 8
7
grandkids with Adrian? Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't realize that.
No, I was just going to say, no, the baby is due in a month. The 8th baby is due in a month.
Okay.
And that was another thing. Fancy leaving your wife, you know, with all this business and all this worry and due to have a baby any day. But, but she was great.
You posted yesterday, Adrian's children gathered around a computer looking at photos of dad. One of the boys asks, "Why is Annabelle wearing the scarf on her face?" One of the twin girls replied, "Because dad stinks." And I got to admit, they're looking pretty stinky at this point. So.
Oh, yeah. Look, I was really relieved to find that they got a shower last night. I was thrilled. It's, you know, we mothers worry about, you know, washing and eating. And I was worried about the eating, and but, you know, I thought he'll survive without a shower. We all know what a great reviver it is, and I was really thrilled to read on the website that they got a shower last night, so that was great.
It's really important.
So maybe he won't stink as bad as he... Yeah, he might be a bit easier for Annabelle today.
Yeah, right, for both of them. You know, and then the other thing I read last night, and that just shows you, I know that Annabelle slowed down. She had a faster horse in one of the legs than he did, and she slowed down to wait up for him. They truly are doing this together. I don't know if they planned on doing that or if it just happened, but it's happening. And
they went over as a team. Yeah, no, they went over as a team. Okay. And this is what's alarming everybody, is what a wonderful team it's been. Annabelle is carrying an old skiing injury, and her knees are very painful today. Well, of course, you know, if this is on tonight, you know, we'll all know the results by the time this goes to air. But it's a huge thing for her. She's carrying a lot of pain. So every time they walked into the stations, Adrian would take both saddles off, and he'd walk in like an old pack horse, and he'd have the two saddles, two bags, you know, just anything to relieve any weight off Annabelle. And then he carried all her gear, you know, like as they walked into the post, just to give her that, you know, not to be carrying anything on her back. And that's but so they've worked together all along the way. You know, Adrian had a slow horse, but Annabelle stayed back. And in one of the posts, Annabelle had a horse, and she said it hung like a gate, but Adrian kept it on the straight. So working the two horses together has worked really well. And the other thing too, being herd animals, the horses are happy because they've got a mate. So there's been no crazy behaviour by the horses or anything like that, because, as you know, they're fairly feral.
Right.
Some of them, you know, some amazing footage. Yeah, so that's been another great advantage.
Another interesting thing that's happened with the two of them, and this is unusual, is they have no penalties, time penalties. They have no health penalties going into the last four, and you're right. Tonight we will really know. We'll have a winner. You know, for the fact that they've been so careful, and now they're going to have to be really careful because they really don't want 2 hours now. So they're going to be watching that, and it's been hot there, so that makes a difference too.
Yeah.
Dude, they're going to go across holding hands and be joint winners, right? I mean, I'm assuming that.
Yeah.
I figured. I figured. Was that the plan all along, if they were in first? Or did they never dream of being in first?
No, they had no idea what was going to be. I mean, of course, they had absolutely no idea of what was going to be ahead of them. But I just want to say one little thing about why there's no penalties and why they seem to have done so well. The thoroughbred industry is very strict. And, you know, if you're breaking in thoroughbreds and educating thoroughbreds for racing, you have to be a very talented horseman. You've got to be very disciplined. And this has really shown up in this derby now. You know, they're used to long days. They're used to putting the horse first, because, you know, the thoroughbred racehorses, you know, some of them people are paying $1 million for them. So, you know, hundreds of thousands for them. So you've got another person's very valuable asset. So you very quickly learn that they are supreme. And Adrian and Annabelle have applied that to this. You know, they've asked for the best from the horses, but have looked after them. And as well as that, looked after themselves, each other. And that's why it's worked. There's a lot to be said for the thoroughbred racing industry. It's very good, very great horse, you know, discipline.
They are showing it in this race, that is for sure. And, you know, it's interesting because we do have, you know, anything can happen, of course. They are being followed closely by Devin. And then right behind Devin is Eliza from Australia. And then we have Angus. And then we have Charlotte Howard from New Zealand. So we have three Aussies.
They're going very well.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the Aussies are tough. Don't ever ask. Yeah, but we do get underestimated like that. We were tough colonials. We're tough stock, the Aussies.
Sure are.
It's good to see we still are.
And Charlotte Howard, even the yeah. I saw even the New Zealand embassy in the Mongolian consulate in Auckland posted yeah. about Charlotte Howard. So, I mean, everybody's following
yeah,
this.
They're doing wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
So it is a race still here to the end, and it's going to be an yeah. exciting night for us, day for you. And, you know, we wish them the best of luck, and I'm so glad that we got to meet, that you and I and your husband got to meet through all of yeah. this. It's been fun following it together.
Yeah, thank you. Great.
All
thank
right.
you very much.
Here we go.
Terrific coverage. Okay.
Last round.
Bye now.
So that's
okay. Hold your breath.
Yes.
Hang on.
All right, we're back, and that was Mary Lou, who is, as you heard, mom to Adrian Corboy. What a great story, huh? Now I bet you feel better about your winners now.
She's lovely.
She is.
Absolutely lovely.
So he had 3 weeks to prepare for this. He had to lose weight to do it, and really had no time to make all of this happen, and goes in and wins the thing with Annabelle, and they went across as a team and are joint winners. So good for him. It's just a great story. 8 kids or 7 kids, one about ready to be 8, and his wife has to be a saint. So
why would you do that to yourself?
You know, and his friend gets hurt, paid all the money, and apparently they had sponsors, and he stepped up for his friend. And now it's probably there were some times in the last 7 days that he was not too sure about why he did that. But I think today he's probably pretty happy he did. So good for them. I think that we have good winners this year.
Good. And no bet penalties the whole time. That just shows like some really nice horsemanship. And that's really, really kind of my favorite part about it. I don't care. You lost weight. That's great. You have kids. Yeah, whatever. You actually had no vet penalties, and you nursed your horses across the
checkpoint. And people always lose weight when they go to the Mongol Derby, so I imagine he's pretty skinny right about now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, stoked by now.
They'll be having a big party when everybody crosses. Now, it's not over. There are people still riding, and it's as important for the people who, you know, most people who go there don't go to win. They go for the personal challenge of riding the 1,000 kilometers and getting across the finish line. And we're going to have some amazing stories coming out of those people. Jocelyn Pierce from Practical Horseman is still on the course. Our lovebirds, the happy couple, are still on the course. Michael Gaskin's still on the course. I think he's still with the – there are threesome now, the three of them that have been together riding. So, you know, we have some stories yet that are going to come, and I'm sure we're going to hear some amazing stories of things that happened out there. So, once again, another Mongol Derby provides some entertainment and dot watching for a lot of people around the world for the last 7 days.
You know what? I'm just so pleased at how the Horse Radio Network has become kind of the unofficial Mongol Derby check-in point.
I know. I know. We didn't intend to, but Leslie was the cause of all of that. Although we've had the winners on for the last 6 years, well, probably. I mean,
Madison rode in it 5 years ago, and we talked. Remember, we talked to her mama while she was out there
yeah.
too.
Yeah, we've been covering this for a very long time. I don't know why we took to it, but we did, and just have been covering it ever since. Now we're going to have to start covering the Patagonia Derby. Next year, they'll have one down in Patagonia as well. So,
okay. I'm Mongol Derby'd out right now. I need a break, so talk to me in a few months.
All right, that's it for today. Jamie has to get to work. She has to go clean stalls at Monty's house, so we have to let her do that. We're going to be dark tomorrow. No show tomorrow. It is the third Thursday of the month. We don't have a show. If you have an organization or an association that wants to add some media coverage to their association, get in touch with us. Drop us an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. We have 1 day of the month open here on Horses in the Morning. It's the third Thursday of the month, and we'd entertain talking to you about it. So do that. Jamie will be back on Friday. Debbie's going to be helping you out. We'll have some really bad ads, so send your ads in to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, and I'm sure you'll have some terrific guests and things going on Friday. We'll be back live. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you, guys. Spay, neuter, geld. Have a great week. It's not.
You have no idea, do you?